Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Now that's the old King James Version. That language sometimes is lost on us today, but it says, whoever believes will not make haste. In other words, they won't be moved quickly. They won't be shaken. Whoever believes on this stone, on this foundation, will be unshakable. With all the shaking that's going on in our world today, with all that is uncertain, whether it's political or social or the economy, we need something that will stand through the shaking. Hallelujah. We need something we can hold to that will ride out any storm that comes. And so that's what I want to preach about today, a sure foundation. A sure foundation. Amen. Come on. Somebody today, whatever has brought the shaking to your life, whether it's family problems or financial struggles or sickness, and maybe it's anxiety or depression, maybe you know today that the devil himself has been on your case. I've come to encourage you that you can make it. You're going to come through this with the help of the Lord. There is hope in the midst of what you're going through. There is help for your situation today because you can have a sure foundation. Amen. Let's pray and ask God to help us. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. I pray that you'd speak to every life. I pray that you'd encourage us from your word today. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Please be seated today. Somebody once said, there's no such thing as a sure thing. We are certainly living in uncertain times. Each day brings new surprises. Things that we once knew to be true have changed oftentimes overnight even. Who knows what we'll hear in the news today? There's no telling what the stock market's going to do tomorrow. We have no idea what all this week will hold. The only thing that's certain is that things around us can be very uncertain. Benjamin Franklin said, there are only two things we can be sure of, death and taxes. And while that seems to be true at first, there's actually those who have found ways around taxes. And the Bible tells us that there will be some who don't know death. I'm planning to be one of those, by the way. Amen. Hopefully when Jesus comes back for his church, I'll still be alive. I'll be ready to go. So what can we be sure of? With all the uncertainty around us, with all that's changing, with so much that is unsure, what can we depend on? What can we cling to in troubled times? And where can we find this sure foundation? We're looking today at some things that are sure, some things that are dependable, some things we can put our trust in. And no matter what the news holds tomorrow, no matter what we find out this afternoon on social media, it does not matter who may have let us down in the past or all the times that we found out things were too good to be true. If you want a foundation that makes it through the shaking, there are three things today that we can build on. There's three things that are sure. They're steadfast. They're a rock in the time of trouble. They're a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone. And we can make it if we'll build on this sure foundation. The first I want to look at today, it may or may not be obvious, but it's the one who has always been and who will always be, Almighty God. He's eternal. God is eternal. He has no beginning and he has no end. God is not a creation, but he is the creator of all things. Before there was anything, God, he looked into nothing and he spoke galaxies into existence. When the earth was without form and void, when darkness was upon the face of the deep, the Spirit of God moved and he said, let there be light, and there was light. God created all of this. Everything we see around us, God created it. There's not anything in this world that was made except that which was made by him. God is the center of it all. He's the reason for it all, why everything is here. Now, we cannot fully understand God with our finite minds because he's infinite. God's eternal. It does not matter what course this world may take, there will be no end to God. It doesn't matter if the Republicans win this fall or if the Democrats do. He's still God. He's still God. It doesn't matter what plans the devil might make. God will still live on. There will be no end to him. He's from everlasting to everlasting. Amen. There is no end to him. There never was a time, either in the past or in the future, when God did not or will not exist. Now, that's hard for us to comprehend. But God is not bound by human time. The best way to describe God is he is the I am. He is the I am. God simply is and forever will be. Are we looking for a sure foundation today? Has our world been shaken lately? I tell you, God is unchangeable. He's unchangeable. He is sure. The Bible says there's no variableness of turning within him, no shadow of turning. There's not even a hint of change with God. Now, sometimes God may change the way he deals with man, but God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if we're looking for someone to turn to who will always be the same, don't look at your friend that brought you today. Don't look at your neighbor across the way. Don't look at me. We all make mistakes. We all fall short. But look to a God who never changes. Look to a God that you can depend on, a God who always remains. He is a sure foundation. Hallelujah. How sad it is that people build their lives on everything but God. They wonder why they struggle, and they wonder why they can't get ahead, and why they're miserable, and it's because they're building on a foundation that is unsure. But when we put everything else before God, it's all backwards. If we want to build a life that lasts, if we want to build something that's going to remain, we've got to build on the things of God. That's a foundation that will stand the test of time because God is eternal. There's a lot of people we could know in Springfield today. But I tell you, more important than knowing who's who of the city of Springfield, we need to know the God of heaven. Hallelujah. More important than making friends and influencing people, we need to have a relationship with the Almighty. He should come first in our life. If we're missing a real relationship with God, then we do not have a foundation that is sure, and we are missing a foundation that will stand through the shaking of this world. How do we know God? How can we build our lives on the things of God? The Apostle Paul, he went to Athens, Greece. Athens was an ancient city of philosophy. It was a center of philosophy in that day. It was a place built on the foundation of human understanding and wisdom. And Paul, he spoke to the people there. He said, you know what? I see that you're very superstitious, he said. Reading in Acts 17:23, he said, for as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. Paul said, he said, you've got all these altars to these different gods. But you're afraid there might be another God out there that you don't know. And so you've built this altar to him, and just so you don't make him angry at you, you said, well, this is the altar to the unknown God. Paul said, let me tell you about this unknown God. This God you haven't met, this God that you don't know, the one that made the world and everything in it, the God of heaven and earth. You can't hold him in a temple. You can't put him in a place made with human hands. He's greater than that. He's greater than all that you've ever experienced. And Paul said in Acts 17:27, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. If you have never experienced the power of God in your life, I've come to tell you today that if you will seek the Lord, if you will feel after him, come on, would you open your heart and open your spirit today and say, I've got to feel after God. I've got to find him in this place today. He's not far from us. You will find him. His presence is here in this room. His power is working in this place. He wants to transform us. He wants to move in us. And this is what we need to have a sure foundation, a relationship with God. And that foundation, it's Jesus Christ. And just as God will stand the test of time, so will his word. So will his word. Matthew 24:35 tells us, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Psalm 119:89 reads, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. The word of God is eternal. It's quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. The word of God is life-changing. It's relevant for every situation. The word of God will last. It will remain. Amen. Through the ages, men they've tried to destroy the word of God, but they could not. They've burned Bibles by the thousands, but the word of God still lives on. In 697 B.C., Manasseh tried to destroy the word of God, but it was rediscovered 70 years later by Hosea. In 303 AD, the Roman Emperor Diocletian, he ordered the word of God to be destroyed and every person who owned the Bible to be killed. But within a few short years, Diocletian committed suicide, but the word of God lived on. The Emperor Voltaire once said, 100 years from my day, there will not be a Bible in the world except for a few owned by antique collectors. Voltaire died in 1788, but I wonder, is there anybody here today that you have a copy of that precious word of God? Hallelujah. Generations have tried to eliminate it. Kings and kingdoms have done their best to destroy it. Men have tried to dilute it, to change its teaching, to do away with what it says. They've taken it out of schools. They've taken it out of courtrooms. But the word of God still lives on. It's still true. It's a foundation that remains. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We've got to realize today, though the heaven and the earth pass away, the word of God still remains. That's a foundation you can stand on. That's a foundation you can trust in. We can bank on the promises of the word of God. Psalm 119:105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. There's nothing better to guide us through life than the Bible. Young people today, if you're trying to plan your future and trying to determine what course you may try to chase a career or job or schooling or whatever it is, you better get in the Word of God and start reading this knowledge. Amen. Oh, there's a lot of wisdom in this Word of God. There's a lot of wisdom in the world, but I want to be built on the things of God. Amen. Parents today, if we're trying to find answers of how to lead our family in a troubled world, there's no greater resource than the Bible. The principles that we find here will stand the test of time. Let the word of God be a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Show us the way to go, Lord, from your word. Show us how to live. I'll follow your word. How many know today that what we read affects us? What we take into our spirit has an effect. Studies have shown that for multiple hours in a day, people will spend time on social media, on video games, on entertainment, movies, television. You know, I understand. I love the news, and I love to be aware of what's going on in the world. But have you noticed bad news gets a lot more traction than good news? And before we know it, we've spent, literally, you can spend hours a day on media. Media that's not uplifting. Media that's a distraction. It's a time waster. There's an old saying that goes like this: garbage in, garbage out. If that's what we're consuming, if that's what we're taking in, amen, then that's what's going to be produced in our life. And I can find myself up on all the latest news, but all of a sudden I start feeling anxiety. I start feeling pressure. I start getting worried about what all is going to happen in the world and who's going to win the election and what all, you know, all of this stuff. Amen. Garbage in, garbage out. I want to build my life on a foundation that's wholesome, on a foundation that's good, on a foundation that's uplifting. I want to build myself on the timeless truths of God's word. His word never changes. It's eternal, but it's still relevant for everything we go through today, for every situation we can ever face. If we'll read the word of God more than we study these other things, more than we consume other types of media, it will transform us. We'll see the world differently. Our thinking will change. Your anxiety will start to disappear. The direction of our life will be impacted. It's the power of God's word. I want to challenge you today. Make a plan to study the Bible every single day. Have a Bible reading plan where you read a few scriptures every single day. Make time for a family devotion and start a Bible study. Maybe go to a Bible study. But there's no better foundation than the eternal word of God. And somebody today, I want you to say, thank God for his church. Thank God for his church. The church is a foundation that will stand. It's God's church. Sometimes we get to thinking, it's our church. It's my church. No, it's God's church. We don't own it. We didn't establish it. We didn't die for it. It's the Lord's church. And it's going to last. God is going to have a church. Amen. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. God's church is going to stand. We can count on the church. The church is going to last. The church is going to be there. In the last days, the Bible teaches that Jesus Christ is going to return for his church. There's going to be a church that makes it in the end, and we can build on the foundation of the church of Jesus Christ. If you've ever read Fox's Book of Martyrs, it lists the accounts of how all hell was unleashed against those in the early church. Following the stoning of Stephen, every one of the Lord's disciples had a violent death, with the exception of John, who was banished to the Isle of Patmos only after he went through a boiling cauldron of oil. But every other disciple experienced a violent death. Other Christians were sewn up into the skins of animals and then thrown to wild dogs. The Roman Emperor Nero, he would have Christians clothed in shirts of wax and tied to poles and then set on fire to provide burning lamps for his gardens at night. And so many others were crucified, beheaded, fed to wild beasts, burned at the stake, or even those whose bodies were stretched and torn to pieces with chains and pulleys. So many Christians killed and persecuted. The attack was on against the church. Hell thought that all of this would bring the church to its knees, but the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Instead of stopping the flames of revival, the persecution, it just spread the gospel even more, because God is going to have a church. The church is going to last. The gates of hell shall not prevail against this church. I don't know today what persecution may be in store for God's church, but we're seeing some of it around the world even now. There may be dreadful things ahead, but we know this: no matter what the church goes through, the church is going to make it. The church is going to make it. I need the safety of the church. I need the help of the church. It's the family of God. I don't want to forsake the church. I don't want to turn my back on the church, because the church is going to make it. And if we want to come out in the end, we need the church of the living God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm thankful for the church. God's church is more than beautiful temples and cathedrals. It's more than just signing our name on attendance rolls. Being a part of the church, it's not just showing up at service times, but it's those who are living for Jesus Christ. We're strangers and pilgrims in this land. The old song says it like this: this world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. You realize today that there's something greater than everything in this world. You realize that you were created for a purpose that's greater than everything in this life. And you're fulfilling that purpose in the church that God has called you to be in. I'm thankful for the church. A lot of things may be pulling us. Life demands our attention in so many different directions. But with all we do and in every place that we go, in all that we give ourselves to, we better be building a sure foundation. Amen. Not on things that are going to pass away, not on things that are temporary, but a sure foundation that's going to last. We've got to build on things that are eternal. Amen. We've got to build things that are sure into our life. I'm closing today, if the musicians would come, but I want to read a few scriptures from Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And in that name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them," he said, "I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." Great was the fall of it. Now, before we moved here from Texas, we lived there on the Gulf Coast, and my in-laws can attest to this. Those hurricanes would start out in the Gulf somewhere, and they would gain strength and come over that warm water, and eventually they'd make landfall. And all summer long, you'd pay attention because you wanted to know if there was a hurricane coming, because it would be a devastating storm, but you could prepare ahead of time, and you could get out of town and do the best you could to secure your house. But here's the thing. If your house wasn't built on a sure foundation, it didn't matter how much you boarded the windows up, it didn't matter how much you got things ready, if that foundation was not prepared to take the pressure, if it was not solid, if it was not like a rock, then if the flood came, if the wind blew, if all of that rain came against your house, there could be a destruction that would come. Once the storm is out in the Gulf, once that storm is swirling and building strength and that warm water is feeding it, it's too late to go check your foundation. It's too late to say, you know what, let me go and put some anchors down. Let me see if we can fix this here. Let me call a construction company. We gotta make this right because there's a storm coming. No, it's too late. Here's what you got to do. You got to realize every year there's going to be hurricanes. Every year there's going to be storms that come. Every year there's going to be stuff that we're going to have to go through. And so I'm going to build right knowing that I'm going to face a storm sometime in the future. I'm preaching a message of hope today. Here's the hope. Yes, there will be storms in your life. Yes, there's going to be things that you're going to have to go through. You're going to have to experience circumstance and trouble and trial and all of that. But here's the hope. You can build your life today on a sure foundation that when the wind begins to blow, and when the rain begins to fall, and when flood waters start to rise, you can have peace in your heart to know I've built on a rock. I've done whatever it takes to prepare. I'm built on the rock of Jesus Christ. I'm built on the Word of God. I've built my life around the church of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to make it through the storm. I'm going to make it through the trouble. I'm going to come through this trial. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me in closing today? I mentioned at the first, God knows every situation, every trouble, every sickness, every bit of heartache, every certain situation that you're going through. And God's big enough, powerful enough to meet every need in this house today. I don't know what you've come here, but I want you to just say, Lord, I need you. And God knows exactly what you need. I need you, Lord. Work in my heart. Work in my life. I pray that you'd make a way. I want to have a sure foundation. I want to be ready to meet the storms that come. I want to be ready to go through every trial and every circumstance and to come out in victory. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for the church. I thank you, God, that you're unchangeable. I can trust in you. Praise the Lord. I wonder if there'd be anybody that you'd make your way with me to this altar today and you'd say, Lord, I want to just make sure my foundation's right. Maybe you're not going through a storm today, but you just want to prepare because you realize there may be something coming down the road and you want to make sure you've got a sure foundation. Or maybe you're here today and you're crying out because things are getting a little rough. Things are getting a little crazy around you and you need some help. In the middle of your storm, I believe you can cry out to Jesus and say, Lord, help me. And he will reach down in this place today and he will touch your life and he'll minister to your heart today. Come on, I need a sure foundation. I need a sure foundation today. I need you, God. I need your help. I need your strength, Lord. Work in me today. I pray that you would move in me today, that you would make a way. God, I pray for every person, every need, every family situation, every sickness, every disease. God, I pray that you would make a way. I pray that you would heal. I pray that you would deliver. I pray that you would set free today. I pray that you would encourage those who are troubled. I pray that you would speak peace into the lives of those with uncertainty. God, that you would make a way in every family, in every relationship today. I need a sure foundation.